Welcome to Puritans Read, where we read aloud great Puritan works, authors, and biographies. Today, episode 6 of A New Year's Gift by John Schauer. Section 11. Of the expectation of another life. The vanity and misery of man in his best estate, if there be none. The satisfactory removal of that supposition by the thoughts of God and of eternal felicity in his blessed presence. Let me retire a little, O my soul, and bethink myself. What a world this is! What men design and seek and do and suffer, and what false and feigned joys they are pleased, being only happy by comparison, and with what real sorrows they are afflicted. What innumerable disappointments, sicknesses, and as troublesome, remedies, dangers, labors, pains, and calamities of all sorts, multitudes groan under, and loudly complain of. And what little unworthy ends are pursued by all that do not seriously seek eternal rest, and how often frustrated. And withal consider the cares that disquiet us, the errors that deceive us, the many temptations that assault and overcome us. How busy we are about vanities, how often dejected and melancholy for the breaking of a bubble, how eager and industrious to pursue a shadow, active and in earnest to destroy ourselves and one another. And then reflect on the malice and cruelty, the filthiness and impiety and great corruption which abounds everywhere, whereby God is dishonored and provoked to anger. After this, what a theater of tragedies must this world appear? What an hospital of sick and diseased, or rather distracted, persons? How could I be tempted to say, Lord, why hast thou made all men in vain? In vain indeed, if I could not look from this sea of troubles to the haven of rest, from this dark prison to the region of light, from this deceitful, troublesome, and defiling earth to a blessed, everlasting heaven. For verily, if there be no world but this, every man in his best estate in this world is altogether vanity, Selah, Psalm 39:5. 'Tis a certain, undoubted truth, the prefixed verily tells us so, and that it deserves to be well considered. We learn from the concluding Selah, every man is vanity. Not the inferior parts of the creation only, but man, the Lord of all, and every man, every Adam from himself, to the last man that shall, by ordinary generation, descend from him. Not the ignorant, poor, or wicked only, but all the individuals of this species, young or old, strong or weak, beautiful or deformed, rich or poor, high or low, good or bad, in respect of the body and this present life. Every one is vanity, and this is true. Suppose him to be in his best estate, not only in helpless infancy and childhood, or in decrepit old age, not only in pain and poverty and disgrace, but in his most settled, most flourishing, most envied and admired condition upon earth, in the midst of strength and wit and honor, when at best, as to body and mind and outward circumstances, when he looks fairest, when he shines brightest, in the height of all his glory, with the greatest likelihood of a continuance, yet then he is but vanity in his frame, in his temper, constitution, inclinations, actions, and employment, he is a mere shadow, an empty, mutable, inconsiderable thing and not to be accounted of. His heart, his head, his imaginations, reasonings, desires, purposes, projects, hopes, and fears are all vanity and altogether vanity in all the parts and kinds and particulars of it. He may not only be, but he is so in his best estate. If this world be his best, if this be our all, and nothing more to be expected after death. And how should such a reflection strike me to the heart to suppose that after a few years are ended, I must return to my first nothing and my very being be swallowed up in eternal death? What satisfaction can I then take in any present enjoyments if an eternal annihilation be at hand when I must bid adieu forever to all that I now possess? What delight can I have in the ordinary comforts of life with this belief that within a year or two, it may be tomorrow, I shall sink into the dust and exist no more? What pleasure in anything with this dismal expectation? The more flourishing my condition is in this world, the more should I dread to lose it, if nothing better, nothing at all, can be enjoyed after death. Some philosophers have ignorantly urged such a consideration as an antidote against the fear of death, but the admission of it may rather deprive a man of all the comfort of life. What then is the advantage of a wise man above a fool? The exercise and improvement of our noblest faculties would render us more miserable than others if nothing be expected and certain when this life is over. Not only sensual, but intellectual pleasures would be disturbed and destroyed by such thoughts that very shortly, the next year or day, I must disappear, and all my enjoyments and hopes be utterly and forever lost with my very being. Were the case thus, which such consequences evince it is not, it were better for most men they had never been born. Whether their condition here be prosperous or afflicted, for what comfort or quiet can any man have in plenty and prosperity when this frightful apprehension of an approaching end is ever present? And what consolation can it yield a man who is afflicted and calamitous, and yet loves his life above all things, to think that he shall not cease to be miserable, but by ceasing to be? And what has become of all religion, if such a thought be entertained? All devotion to God is thereby extinguished, all the restraints of vice removed, the floodgates of impiety opened, the encouragements of virtue, the rewards of holiness, the foundation of patience in tribulation and suffering for righteousness' sake, all at once taken away. Lord, confirm my belief at the invisible future state of rewards and punishments, and let not Sadducism and infidelity damp my zeal in thy service or rob me of the comforts of this life, which, if I have any solid ones, must suppose the hopes of a better. Let others, therefore, O my soul, who expect not an everlasting heaven beyond the grave, place their affections on earthly things and mind this world as if there were no better, no other. Let them who doubt or disbelieve the promised rewards of eternity take up with what they must shortly leave, and labor for the bread that perisheth. But since I profess to believe and seek the life everlasting, let me daily entertain myself with the hopes of it, and let all the flattering dreams of what is desirable upon earth give place to nobler and better thoughts. Let me derive my principal joy from the promise and expectation of that future felicity and endeavor nothing more than a meetness to partake of it. O my God, my God, thou art my life and joy and portion. In thee and in thy love, all my desires and hopes are answered and all my wants supplied. However evil this world is made by sin, yet thou art the infinite and supreme good. How mutable, how uncertain, how perishing soever are all sublunary things, yet thou art the rock of ages, the fountain of everlasting life, and hast appointed another world and another life. When this is ended, wherein thou wilt be better known and loved and served and honored and communicate thyself more abundantly than now to those, the desire of whose souls is towards thee, that believe and love thee, that partake of thine image and are devoted to thy fear. The assurance of this and nothing else will answer the objection of the present vanity and misery we are subject to. This concludes episode 6 of A New Year's Gift by John Schauer.